Hi, I'm Dr. Kyla, pediatric dietitian, fussy eating specialist, and mum of two. I'm the founder of the online Mealtimes memberships that help parents just like you experience a confident and guilt-free way of feeding children. I'm also a business owner, a hot cross bun lover, and my superpower is finding things that you cannot live without. In this podcast, I'm talking about feeding your family, along with a random selection of topics that tickle my fancy. Welcome to Mealtimes with Dr. Kyla. Hello and welcome back to the Mealtimes with Dr. Kyla podcast. It has been a hot minute between podcast episodes, but I am delighted to be back behind the microphone. And today I'm talking to an incredible guest, the guru of all allergy dietitians, Ingrid Roche from Advanced Dietitians Group. Today she's deep diving FPIES with me, so food protein induced enterocolitis syndrome. This is a reasonably rare type of food allergy, but something that is really important to know about and something that unfortunately isn't well explained in the world out there. So if this is something you're experiencing, I think you'll find this chat really reassuring, and I am super thrilled to have Ingrid on the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Ingrid.
Thanks, Dr. Kyla. I'm happy to be here.
I am so excited to have you here. I feel like I could have you on for 3,000 different allergy kind of related topics. So hopefully the people will speak with their ears and we get you back for something else as well.
Hopefully, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bring it up. All right, I'm going to read you a question that was asked in my Baby Mealtimes member group, and I want you to think about your response. So hi all, I'm just back from hospital as my little one, who's 8 months old, was vomiting nonstop today. Doctors think it's a virus, which it may be, but I'm also suspicious it might be egg related, as this happened exactly the same a few weeks ago. Both times he had egg, the vomiting started 3 hours later after his nap. Big coincidence, or could it be a virus again? As an allergy dietitian, Ingrid, what is your first thought on that?
Well, because I often always have an allergy hat on, I would think that mum's concerns are very valid. And this is often how we see sort of gastrointestinal allergies like FPIES present. You often get a common food that the baby's eaten before they have these reactions. And the fact that it was 3 hours later, I would be suspicious of FPIES. I'd also be asking whether the baby had a temperature and whether they perked up after those vomiting episodes.
Okay.
So delve a bit more into those.
Tell us about FPIES. What is it? What does it mean?
Okay. So FPIES is a type of gastrointestinal allergy. So it falls in the realm of a non-IgE-mediated allergy. So non-IgE-mediated allergies are usually gut allergies, and it means that the body isn't producing what we call IgE antibodies to a particular food protein. So you don't get things like hives, rashes, difficulty breathing with a non-IgE mediated allergy. You usually get vomiting, diarrhea, and often like growth problems. So FPIES is a really weird allergy because it's quite delayed, the symptoms. So a baby or a child will eat a food, and then somewhere between 1 to 4 hours later, they'll start this profuse vomiting. So lots and lots of vomiting. It can often be projectile. Baby might become pale and floppy because they've lost a lot of fluid, and it often results in a hospital visit.
Yeah. It sounds
very scary.
It sounds very scary. And it also sounds pretty confusing for most parents, because if your baby vomits, and, you know, the chances are that babies vomit reasonably regularly. There are some babies who vomit a lot, some who don't. How can people tell, like, what kind of vomiting are we talking about? Like nonstop for a period of time?
Yeah, so there's different levels of severity, I suppose. So our classic FPIES that we kind of call FPIES in Australia, I suppose, is the really sort of violent vomiting that happens somewhere between 1 and 4 hours after eating a food. For it to be diagnosed as FPIES, it has to be repeated with the same food. So you have to be able to reproduce it. And so that's often what we see. Babies will have been admitted to hospital, to the ED department a few times. and get sent home with a virus diagnosis, and then they'll go back, and it's not until the parent says, well, actually, it's happened every time they've eaten rice or egg or whatever. Yeah. And then they go, oh, maybe it's FPIRES. So we often find that it's the parents that have actually
doing
figured
the
out what it
is.
Yeah, because you have to hit the right person in the ED. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so tricky because vomiting, you know, it can be such a symptom of all sorts of things. So essentially, if you have a baby who eats something new and they vomit, you know, once a bit later on in the day, the chances are that it's FPIRES is quite unlikely.
Quite unlikely. So it is, well, it's not considered rare anymore, but it is about 1 in 7,000 babies in Australia. So that's like somewhere between 0.1 and 0.7% worldwide. So it's not common. It's more likely to be either a random vomit or gastro.
Yep.
But if it happens repeatedly, usually it will happen within, a period of a few weeks because you're trying to introduce this new food to your baby and you're trying to give regular exposure because we like to, you know, give our babies foods regularly to make sure they tolerate it. But it often happens with the same food. And one of the other weird things about FPIRES is that it often happens at exactly the same time.
Right. So, so
this,
to the minute
this
kind
month,
of.
Almost, yeah.
Wow.
So it'd be like, for some babies, it'll be 1 hour later. Every time it's 1 hour later, or every time it's 2.5 hours later, or it's 3 hours later. I've always found that quite strange.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What a good clue.
It's almost uptimed. Yeah.
Interesting. I think something we didn't actually do is define FPIRES. What does it stand for?
So it's food protein induced enterocolitis syndrome.
No
which
wonder.
Basically means that it's a food protein that's causing the problem, or you can just think of it as a food. And then enterocolitis means that it is the part of the intestine that is reacting to this food, and it's different immune cells to a classic kind of allergy that are being stimulated to cause all of these symptoms. And so it's not just vomiting. So you generally need a couple of criteria to be diagnosed with FPIRES. So usually it'll be presentation to an emergency department. You'll have the profuse vomiting. Sometimes you'll have like the baby will go quite lethargic. You might have a drop in temperature. So that's one of the other things. Like with gastro, you might often have an increase in temperature and the baby might be unwell for a few days. With FPIRES, they tend to pick up really, really quickly. It might be followed by diarrhea like the next day, but that isn't always the case. Sometimes they just vomit and then they're totally fine a few hours later, which is why it's, you know, parents find it quite weird and confusing.
Yeah. So confronting.
Yeah.
Is there a child who's more likely to develop FPIRES in their life?
Yeah. So there is often a family history of some sort of allergy in the family. In a couple of studies, they've shown that about 7% of the kids had a brother or sister with FPIRES, but it's often the first time an allergy's even shown up in the baby, just like other allergies.
Yeah, just unlucky sometimes.
Yeah, just unlucky, yeah.
Are there more common triggers for FPIRES, and can you have FPIRES to anything?
You can have FPIRES to any food, just like other allergies. So in Australia, our most common trigger is rice, which is the other reason why it can take a while to figure out what's going on because, you know, rice is often considered one of the least allergenic foods. But in FPIRES in Australia, it's the most common. So it's about, I wrote it down, it's 45%. Yes. So these are figures from a few years ago, but 45% of FPIRES reactions in Australia were to rice. And then about a third to cow's milk. And then our other triggers are egg, oats, chicken, fish, and soy.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, children who react to grains and fruits and vegetables.
Oof. If you have a child who has had an FPIRES reaction,
yeah,
are they likely to have that to other foods as well?
So, again, Australian figures. So in children who have FPIRES, about 70% only have one food trigger.
Right.
So I think the important things about FPIRES is to remember if your baby's vomiting, it's probably gastro or random vomit. If it's repeated vomiting after the same food, it could be FPIRES. Most children with FPIRES have one food trigger. So if you Google or go on Facebook about FPIRES, there will be lots of posts or information about children with the most severe form of FPIES, which is lots and lots of foods and not being able to introduce much at all. But just remember that most children that we see have one food trigger. It's often rice because that's often the first thing that we introduce to children. We don't have as high, so worldwide the most common trigger is cow's milk. I think in Australia perhaps that's not our most common trigger because we have higher rates of breastfeeding than other countries initially, and so often it manifests as, you know, often the trigger is rice the first time. In saying that, about 30% of children do have multiple food triggers. But that's not to say you shouldn't go ahead and introduce other foods once your baby has had FPIES to one food.
Yeah, and I guess that's something to talk about in a little bit, because I think that is the big fear for families. It's like, I've had this horrific experience where I've had to rush this child off to hospital. What is the treatment? Like, when they get to hospital, what happens?
So when they get to hospital, they just try and rehydrate them like you would for gastro.
Yeah.
If the baby or child have, so if your child's lost a lot of fluid, then the scary bit is trying to get a cannula in and trying to get them rehydrated. And if you can't give oral fluids because they're still vomiting, that can be a bit scary. Sometimes they'll give ondansetron, which is the anti-nausea or anti-vomiting drug. And that, once you're diagnosed and you've seen a specialist, then that's one of the things that you might be given at home to help manage any accidental exposures or any FPIES reactions to new foods that you might be introducing. And you can give that to like small children in a wafer format to reduce the amount of vomiting that happens.
Yeah.
But really it's just rehydration, adrenal auto-injectors, and, you know, so EpiPens or, you know, EpiPens don't work at all. Sometimes if it's a really severe reaction, you might be given some steroids.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but it is scary. It'll usually resolve within an hour or two. Yep. So some babies, you know, it'll just be within half an hour and then they'll kind of be okay. For some babies, it will go on for an hour or two. It's really variable.
Yeah. And if that child is suspected of having FPIES, where are they directed to next?
So an immunologist. Yeah. So they still need to go and see an allergy specialist or an immunologist. Preferably one that specialises in babies and paediatrics. So they also need to obviously rule out other things that are going on when they're, you know, in the ED department. So you need to make sure there's nothing, you know, wrong with their gut or anything like that once you've established that it is a food trigger. So the immunologist will take the clinical history and check that it's sort of a reproducible reaction and that the vomiting is happening after specific foods and it's happened more than once. So you wouldn't really diagnose FPIES on one exposure unless it's extremely severe and it's very clear that it was, particularly if it's rice.
Yeah.
So an immunologist will probably still do skin prick testing because there's a very small number of children who will have a positive skin prick test to that food, and some children will go on and develop that more sort of classic food allergy, but it's not common.
Okay. And do you, as a dietitian specializing in allergies, see these kids in your clinic, the FPIES kids?
We definitely see them in our clinic.
Excellent.
One of the things about FPIES is that because you have such a stressful time with those reactions and trying to figure out what's going on, and it can be quite a scary thing to see your baby do that, is it can be very worrying and scary to keep introducing foods to your baby and having some guidance about which foods are safer or less likely to cause reactions can be good. The other thing that's come through in some of the studies is that when you look at parents of children with allergies, parents of children with FPIES have higher levels of anxiety around feeding their children than parents with your classic kind of allergies.
Yeah, interesting.
So it's more worrying, and it can change your behaviour around introducing foods. Yes. Yeah. So it's very, it's hard.
There are definitely some questions in our member group around this, and maybe we can touch on some of these now.
Yeah.
Are there foods that are generally safer than others for babies who have had an FPIES reaction?
So if we remember that most babies have FPIES to one food. So if you have a, if your baby has a reaction to chicken, you'd avoid all other poultry. If your baby has FPIES to cow's milk or soy, then you would avoid, so if you have FPIES to cow's milk, you'd avoid soy. If you have FPIES to soy, you'd avoid cow's milk. And then if your baby has had an F. pylori reaction to a fruit or a vegetable, then you're more like that baby is more likely to have multiple food allergies. So what we do there is we take a really careful history, and we have there are foods that have not been reported as much in the studies to be F. pylori triggers, and we kind of go with families of foods as well. So, you know, if your baby's reacted to a certain vegetable or a certain fruit, we start with a fruit or vegetable from a different family of fruits or vegetables as a safer option.
Yeah, that makes sense. And obviously something that you need to work through with somebody who understands all yes. of those foods and your yeah. baby and their history and your family's history.
Yeah, yeah. And, things. You know, not all of it is in the studies. And so a lot of it we go on, you know, that sort of clinical exercise, I suppose, and seeing what's worked for other families and not going too fast. So you need to build your confidence.
Yeah.
That's the thing that we really work with families is choosing foods that we are very confident are going to be safe foods, so we can build a base diet with that child and then go on from there to build everyone's confidence with food.
Makes sense. Do you suggest that families introduce one new food at a time at that stage?
In the early stages, just after an F. pylori reaction, definitely.
Yeah.
One food at a time. As you introduce, because remember, most babies have F. pylori to one food. So, but you want to make sure that your baby isn't in the, you know, more than one food category. So we get in foods one by one. And once we've built a family of foods, so you've introduced something from each food group, then we might be a bit more confident with being able to introduce, you know, a couple of veggies at once or a couple of fruits at once.
Yep, yeah, that makes sense. Do you include the common allergens in those foods that you're introducing generally, or are you waiting on those?
No, we introduce them. Yeah. Yep. So if you've, you know, remember the foods that I said were common triggers. So rice, so obviously cow's milk and soy, yep. you know, pretty common. Egg is pretty common allergen to react to in an IgE sense. But the other foods, so rice, chicken, and then some of the fruits and vegetables, like really uncommon foods in terms of what we think of as allergies. So the common allergens tend to not be as common triggers for F. pylori.
Yeah.
So we get wheat in, we get all the nuts in, we, you know, we shouldn't say get in. We introduce the tree nuts and peanut and wheat and all the and fish and seafood. So we kind of go with whatever is the family's common food. We try and get those foods in first so everyone can eat together.
Yeah, makes sense. What about for mums who are still breastfeeding? Do they need to avoid F. pylori triggers if a baby has had a reaction before?
So no.
Yeah, so interesting.
Yes. So F. pylori through, so if you think about other non-IgE mediators, so all of our other gut allergies in babies, most of that will come through the breast milk. And one of our, you know, I guess first line ways of managing it is to help mum exclude those foods from her diet so it doesn't come through the breast milk. But F. pylori is not triggered by foods coming through the breast milk. So so mum can keep eating a normal diet. I think in all the years I've been seeing babies with F. pylori, I've only ever seen one that's reacted through breast milk. Yeah. And that was cow's milk. We don't see as much cow's milk here anyway. So
interesting. And one of the other questions in our group was around food labeling and F. pylori for products that say, for example, may be present and contain an F. pylori trigger for that child. Is that something that families generally need to avoid?
So usually with F. pylori, you usually need a bigger, like a bigger dose to get a reaction.
Yep.
So while I don't really like to say that you should eat products with warning statements for F. pylori, the amount that's going to be in there is unlikely to be enough to trigger a reaction.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And thinking long term, is this for F. pylori, is it a forever thing for kids? Is there a way to test if it has resolved?
So F. pylori, most kids grow out of it by the age of 3. So it's generally an oral food challenge, which basically means the allergist will book the child into the hospital for a food challenge, which means that you, the nurses will feed the child whatever the food trigger was, and see if they vomit. So that usually happens around age 2 or 3. There are some studies at the moment looking at whether a home protocol for reintroducing foods for FPIs is safe. But remember, these are kids that have profuse vomiting as a reaction. And so we really need to be really careful about whether that's appropriate or not.
Yep.
So the allergist will generally sort of book in the challenge around 2 years of age. Yep. Two to three.
I think as a parent, there is nothing I would prefer to do less than have it at home.
Yeah.
Like I want somebody on standby at all times.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Is it long term for some people?
Some, I think over 90% will grow out of FPIs by the age of 5. There are some children who don't. There is also adult FPIs.
Right.
So you can get adult onset FPIs, which can happen later in life, and that's usually to seafood. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but meats as well. So yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yes, so that it's not well documented, but it's becoming more recognised.
Is there something that precedes that usually? Not that we know.
Not that we know of, no. I mean, sometimes it's you might have had a virus or something like that. Yeah, that's sort of triggered, you know, a different immune response. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know a reasonable amount about FPIs, but even hearing you speak about this in detail, like there is just a lot of it doesn't even make logical sense, right? It's so confusing to follow, especially as a parent who maybe is experiencing this without any history of allergy or without any understanding of kind of what's going on in that situation.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you think is helpful for parents to know? Is there anything they could, you know, ask for if they're worried about this, you know, having happened to their child?
Yeah, I mean, I think the FPIs is becoming, there's still a delay in the diagnosis because really you have to have the reaction happen 2 or 3 times before you put 2 and 2 together. But if you notice that, and if you're having to take your baby to ED or they're having these profuse vomiting episodes after eating the same food, then be wary that it could be FPIs and go and see your GP. Sometimes you need to take the information to the GP. So ASCII has got some good, like a good FAQ, a good, you know, frequently asked question sheet about FPIs. So you can kind of have a look and see if you think that might fit. Sometimes we'll send the child off when we'll get a baby in who's got problems with particular foods, vomits all the time. Parent might think they've got some sort of intolerance or allergy. They'll come, we'll send them off to an allergist for a diagnosis, but it's that history taking that's really important. I think the other thing that is something to be aware of is we see a lot more feeding difficulties in babies with FPIs because it's a really negative experience for the baby to eat a food and have this horrible reaction. And if that happens a few times before they get a diagnosis and can avoid their trigger food, they might not actually like
eating.
To eat. Yeah, so it'll put them off. It can delay their feeding development. And so helping the babies work through that is one of the roles that we have in our clinic. The other thing that we really try and do is prevent feeding difficulties or prevent delaying that introduction of a variety of foods by working really closely with the parents and helping them through those really worrying times of getting those first few foods in before you can be confident that your baby is going to tolerate some foods, particularly when you have more than one food trigger. So that is the really tricky bit. So we can help with a bit of guidance there. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And I can imagine for those families, their confidence is shot after that experience. They're, you know, really, really traumatized by that.
Yeah. And trying to relax around your baby and not be like waiting.
Ready,
I mean, it's obviously, and remember, it's not going to be an immediate reaction. And so it's really not, you know, when you're waiting around for later in the day for it to happen. So for if you've got an FPI, a baby with FPIs, when you're introducing a new food, we'll recommend you do it in the morning so that you're, you know, when you put the baby down, you're around. You're not putting your baby to sleep. If you have a baby that sleeps at night, you're not putting your baby to sleep and then letting them sleep through the night without being aware that they're vomiting. So you can check on them once you've given them a new food. And if they start vomiting when it's sleeping, you're around, you can deal with it really quickly.
Yes. And you know exactly just to take them straight to
emergency. Exactly. Yeah.
Where can people find you if they have a child with FPIs or any, you know, pediatric allergy concerns? How can people find you and where can they see you?
Right. So they can look up our clinic. They can just Google us or look for us on Facebook. So it's Advanced Dietitians Group, and we're in Leadable in Perth. So you can give us a call. We can do telehealth. We prefer to see people in the rooms face-to-face for at least their first appointment, because then we can make sure your baby's growing properly, really get a good feel for how you know, how you're feeling about things, and explaining the what FPIES is and what possible food triggers are, and give you a really detailed plan about exactly what to feed your baby, how much to feed your baby, when to feed your baby, and what your sort of next food plan is going to be.
Love it. Thank you so much for being here. I feel like I have heard a lot. I have learned a lot. So I'm guessing that has been really useful for families too.
I hope so.
I will link to all of Ingrid's details and the frequently asked questions sheet that she referenced in the chat. And I would love to hear what you thought of today's episode. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kyla.
A huge thanks for tuning in and listening to my podcast. This is all brand new for me, so I'd love to hear your feedback. Give me a review or send me a DM. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And above all, I'd really love you to hit that subscribe button to keep listening. Thanks.